Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number three here on the show. We're coming from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Want to see your loan options, just payments, and closing costs online in real time. Rocket can. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and of course, CBS Sports Network, always along for the ride on the TV side. Radio.com, Apple, iTunes, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. You know, one of the interesting things about sports is, you know, we have these conversations like, when will the baton be passed, you know? And in large part, they're, you know, loosely based, for the most part, impossible to prove, full of projections and opinions, which are fun. There's no real tried and true recipe to know when that actually happens for each situation, whatever the situation might be. Mm-hmm. But when you watch the eyes, you know, you can lean on all the numbers and the advanced metrics. Generally, your eyes tell you a pretty good story. Watch the games. Watch them. If you know sports, watch them. And if you're on point with your instincts, your takeaways can generally guide you in the right direction. I say all that to set up this question. Symbolically, has the baton been passed, or is it in the process of being passed from LeBron James as the main impetus to a possible Lakers championship to a 1A or 1B impetus to a possible Lakers championship behind AD?
It feels like that, BT, especially last night where he outscored LeBron. Not that you're counting outscoring your teammate, but he outscored LeBron by 20. You know what I mean?
42.
And he took the shots. He had 28 shots, LeBron 16. So I don't know if in a traditional positioning of that conversation, like, oh, the baton is being passed and AD is exercising his rights as the rightful star of the LA Lakers. I think it's more maybe LeBron is just so much, and I'm giving maybe LeBron too much credit here, but he's realizing that that's naturally happening. Mm-hmm. And he's diming him up, man. He's giving a ton of assists. He had 9 last night, you know, and he's actively looking to be a ball distributor as opposed to, I need to be the one to take 28 shots in a game. Now, they did clinch the number one overall spot last night with their victory. And I think it's great for them over the Utah Jazz, obviously. I think it's great for them. It's what they've done all season long from the very beginning. It's like, let's execute ourselves or position ourselves as a team that's going to be fighting every single night, regardless of what's at stake here. The challenge, though, is I see a little bit of what was going on in Cleveland with this LA Lakers team, meaning when games get tough, it's in Cleveland, it was LeBron and Kyrie, let's put our heads down. Together, we're scoring 60. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just grind it, and you and I are going to score 60 because we don't trust anybody else.
Well, they trusted Love when he was healthy, but outside of Love,
But you know what I mean? Like, we don't, like, we got to go do this. that's what it felt like watching this game last night, where AD scored 62 and LeBron scored 22. So they had 64 points between the two of them. I mean, it's half of their offense, even more so, really, if their offense goes through those two guys. And so all it's going to take is one of them having a really bad night, and they're susceptible to losing. So that worries me a little bit, but, you know, not to bury the lead. They did what they needed to do, and AD over these last three games has become the man. It kind of happened after the pandemic. He's become the man for the Lakers. It's not LeBron so much anymore.
It's amazing that we could even think about saying that. I think I agree. You know, AD's really asserted himself, and it's beautiful to see. He's in his absolute physical prime. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make the case that, you know, maybe next year, and I think we all think he's going to stay with the Lakers, but next year, when, you know, instead of starting with a new franchise, and there's a transitional period, maybe next year winds up being, in hindsight, the best year of his career.
Yeah.
You know, when his mind and his body are most fully in sync and he knows what it's like, the Lakers culture, and he's fully used to playing with LeBron, et cetera. Maybe get some better shooters around him, et cetera. But I think, what's amazing about LeBron James, and I don't even think Larry Bird could do this. Like, you know, you go through the all-time greats, and it's a short list. Magic could obviously do this. Not quite, although he did it when Kareem was out, so offensively he could do it when he had to. So maybe I shouldn't say he couldn't do it. Not from a shooting point of view, but when he played center in the finals in 79 against Philly and they won. I think that LeBron James, the ability to win, right, while collecting information is... there's no stat for that.
Yeah.
But
no,
man,
I know what you're saying.
It's uncanny the IQ that it takes, the resilience, the resourcefulness, the willingness to check your ego at the door. Like that, I don't even think Jordan had that, because Jordan never, guys hit last second shots. Paxson, Weddington, when he had the 55 against the Knicks, he had the no-look pass and Weddington dunked it. Craig Hodges hit some shots, Steve Kerr. But, you know, very rarely was Jordan not the leading scorer. I mean, Jordan was getting his 30 shots, 25 shots a game, no matter what. And then Pippen would fall in line next. Whomever was third was third. What LeBron does of balancing the pursuit of the win, still getting his own numbers, and almost like experimenting within a game for future usage.
Yeah.
That is amazing how he could do that.
Yeah, and elevating at the same time. You know, I mean,
yes,
elevating
I left that
the, guy,
out.
The guys, the guys around you, because that's really what you want from a guy who's transitioning into the point guard. Like you got to be an elevator. It's why all this talk about Ben Simmons as this emerging great point guard, he doesn't elevate you. You know what I mean? As a point guard, he's actually going to be better, I think, as a four than he was as the point guard because of his lack of ability to do everything from out there.
But he's still doing a lot of the same stuff, though.
He is, of course, but he's off the ball a lot now when you watch the 76ers, which I think it's just an interesting way to use him and play with him. Even if it's not primary, at least it's an option.
Yeah.
Like you got to have an option. What do we knock the Houston Rockets for? You know, what's your second fiddle option? Well, you don't really have one. You know what I mean? Yeah. At least the 76ers are developing, you know, different ways to use their superstars. And LeBron James is also that, but he's kind of does it kind of naturally. He doesn't need to be coached into it. He just kind of naturally lets his game evolve so that the best guy, the best scorer at this any particular moment has the ball in his hands, whether that's him or it's AD.
Yeah, Teague, I mean, the more I look at this roster, and this is no surprise because you and I have cut this up for a while here, but, you know, we have some hopes for Caruso. Caruso was invisible last night, you know, played 20-something minutes, barely made an impact. I mean, he didn't resonate at all, Caruso.
Nope.
What do you have? They had 3 points. But you look at their starting five, and I know there's interchangeable pieces like – it's not always about the starter. Vinnie Johnson didn't start for the Pistons. Vinnie Johnson had primary role down the stretch. So many games for the bad boys back in the day coming off the bench. Jamal Crawford, you know, even though he hasn't been on a ton of, you know, like winners, Jamal Crawford has impacted games in the fourth quarter for 15, 20 years. Well, he was starting for a good chunk of it, but at least the last 7, 8, 9 years coming off as a bench guy, but playing fourth quarter minutes. But I look at their starters, and it's like, and we know who they are, but man, oh man, is this team, I know they've got the one seed and they locked it up, but do we really think the Lakers are going to win this championship bubble? Do we really think that?
I think – so the thing – LeBron hasn't played great yet.
No.
You know, he hasn't played great. Now, they're 2-1. They lost badly to the Raptors. I don't think they scored 100 points in that game. But they're 2-1. It's mostly been Anthony Davis. He scored 34, 36 in the first game back of the bubble. Scores 42 last night. Kyle Kuzma, if he gives it to you off the bench, it mitigates some of LeBron's bad play. But Kyle Kuzma's hit or miss.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes he's going to be 3-for-5 from 3-point range and give you 15 points or 16 points. Other times he's going to give you like 8. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it's just, it's really hard to predict where he's going to be. But I just have this belief that LeBron at some point hits that switch. More importantly, Anthony Davis has been exceptionally good. I mean, the Raptors game, everybody was bad in that game for the Lakers. But Anthony Davis has been really good. And here's what he says afterwards, knowing what he has to do to help the Lakers win.
I just try to come out the gates, you know, very aggressive, and the team kind of follows. You know, LeBron kind of does a great job of making sure that I get aggressive by throwing me the ball, you know, telling me to go. You know, but I think as a team, we came out very aggressive tonight. You know, I just tried to come out, you know, very aggressive and just kind of lead the pack. And, you know, the rest of the guys did the same thing.
Don't you love the simplicity of that? LeBron just throws me the ball and tells me to go.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, just go. Go. Be aggressive. And it works, you know. It's, I mean, but that's I think, an underrated piece of what LeBron's going to have to do is lift these guys, because this bubble, I mean, we're saying how great it is and how they're getting the games off and the season seems like it's going off without a hitch and they haven't had a positive test and yada, yada, yada. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be really unique and odd. And it's maybe like lonely. I don't want to say it's lonely because it's not. There's dudes around all the time, but mm-hmm. you're not in your natural environment playing in this bubble. Right, I can imagine if you and I, BT, hey, because of whatever's going on, BT, you and I, we got to go to, I don't know, pick like Texas and sit in a hotel room for 3 months to do our show because that's the only way we're going to get it done.
We'll pick Hawaii instead.
Yeah, let's go to what? It doesn't matter where it is. But
some water.
You're without your family, without your mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of doing your show. You wake up, you prepare, you XYZ, and you sit down, and we do our show, and then it's over. It's just it takes some motivation to get that, you know, that off the court side of you still engaged. So this is
what everybody's got to deal with. That it's not just against the Lakers,
of course. But
so
I'm just saying,
everybody's dealing with the same thing.
I agree, but we're talking about the Lakers being the favorite to win, and so for the Lakers, this is
But I don't think they're going to win. I've never had them as the favorites. I like the Clippers still. I do. I don't love the Lakers. I haven't. I mean, of course, I've liked them all year, but anytime this comes up, hey, listen, the Clippers have made me pause a few times along the way for sure.
Yeah, but they've been so disjointed starting loss. I mean, like, who are they yet? I don't know. I don't know if we know yet. You know what I mean?
No, we might not. We might not fully know. The Bucks. I mean, you know, even though I've got some questions about Middleton's true viability as a legit number two star on an NBA championship team. They're a legit team. The Raptors. By the way, speaking of the Raptors, we talked a lot about Nick Nurse before and how he got hosed in the coach of the year. Don't get me wrong. Bud was great.
Yeah.
But he's got the MVP. And Billy Donovan could – put it this way. If I had to – even though Nick Nurse, I believe, should have absolutely won it, I could make a strong case that if it wasn't Nurse, it shouldn't even be Bud. It should be Billy Donovan. What Billy Donovan did – is nothing short of miraculous, right?
Yeah. No, we had them pulling up the rear. I mean, maybe they were going to be not the worst team in the West, but they were. I was thinking second or third from last. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But the entire NBA landscape is one that is very very hard to trust me. We're in the business of telling you guys what we think, and you know, especially. You know, when it comes time to pick a team to win, I mean, that's what I love doing that. That's one of my favorite things about this job outside of, you know, having important, intelligent discussions and letting it rip and going on some of my rants. I mean, I love all the aspects of radio, but at the end of the day, I love telling, hey, listen, I think this team should draft that guy or this team's going to win tonight or whatever it might be. Tink, I have no idea. I have no idea because nobody has any idea. The one thing I feel pretty confident about is that if LeBron James is the best player for the Lakers, I don't know that that's a good thing. Yeah. I think that this transition needs to continue. And yeah. I think it will. Because you're dealing with an egoless superstar who just is all about winning.
I think you're right.
You see Harden doing that? Carmelo never did that. You see Westbrook doing that? You see some of these other guys that love to shoot and score? And I'm not taking shots at them. They're all great players in their own right. But how many NBA super – Dwayne Wade did it when LeBron came. He said, I'm the Heat. This is my city. But until you become the best guy on this team – We're never going to max out. It takes a selfless person to really push that ego aside. And I know I keep going back to this, but I'm just so impressed. I don't know if anybody's this. I will give him. He's the GOAT with this.
Yeah.
Pushing aside ego. Nobody's done it like LeBron. Multiple times, multiple teams.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm looking at his field goals, going into the stoppage. You know, he was shooting 21 times, 22 times. There was one game, 17, but I think he only played. Yeah, he played 30 minutes in that one as well. But 22, then 19, then he gets into the restart, and 15 shots, 16 shots over the last couple of games. So he knows when he's off, and he knows when he's on, and more importantly, he knows when his teammate Anthony Davis is the better option. And for most of the restart, Anthony Davis has been the better option, and it does take a selfless guy to understand that and realize. Hey, it's going to him, not me.
And it's so important to do that early in the game, because if you think that guy's going to be there answering buckets in the fourth quarter when he's not in the flow of the game in the first quarter, it's unrealistic. And LeBron knows that. So, you know, and by the way, I think that – I know you – complain's not the right word, but Tiki has acknowledged a few times here on the show that – the fans, the piped-in noise, the LED screens with the fans looks weird.
I don't mind it. The
NBA vibe is pretty sweet.
I actually really like it.
You
I
like
love
it
the
now.
Fact that the fans are live.
Right.
And the noise, I don't – like, it's kind of just there. I don't even think about it anymore because I think it's normal. And I kind of in my mind say, oh, that's just the fans at home, even though they're not really pumping in noise from the fans at home. Mm-hmm. But that board setup, the Mick Ultra – Yeah. board setup, but I guess they're the sponsor. That's why we had Scottie Pippen on. It's awesome, dude. I think MLB can't do it, but I wish they could, you know, because it makes it kind of cool. You know, the cardboard cutouts are neat, but actually having live fans sitting in front of a video camera watching the game on their laptop or whatever, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done a great job with the technology. No surprise. All right, so coming up next, Sekou Smith, NBA TV, NBA.com analyst on the – I don't know, maybe the transition's upon us here. There's not like you hit a button, you say, okay, it is officially time to transition. It is now your team AD. Like, you just have to kind of go with your gut, go with your NBA intellect, your instincts, your IQ, and trust your eyes. And both Teak and I are saying what we're seeing is there's a transition from LeBron James to AD. Now, will it hold up? And if so, will that be enough for the Lakers to win? We'll get into that with Sekou amongst some other items next. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door or with free shipping on most orders over $35, or you can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested while you wait. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All right. Tiki and Tierney here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4CBS, sponsored by GEICO. Do you know that right now, GEICO's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? It's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. So, Teague, I'm trying to get a sense. You know, it's funny. I have not bet on anything in a long time.
No.
Long time. And, you know, I was looking at some stuff and I was on my site the other day and I'm like, you know what? And I was so annoyed because I went Sunday morning. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to throw $100 on Justin Thomas to come back and steal this thing. That's what I was thinking in the morning. I haven't placed a bet in months. Nothing to bet. You know, I'm not going to bet NASCAR. There's been some golf to bet on, but I haven't gotten into that. And I didn't jump into baseball. I don't love betting baseball. More basketball, football, golf. And anyway, I'm like, let me go to my site and I check it out. And they had the pairings for the day. And it was, you know, Justin Thomas. Who was Justin? I think, was Justin playing with Phil? Whoever Justin was playing with, he was favored, obviously. And but I'm like, I don't want to bet that. I want to get odds on, like, if I bet $100, what is the return on Justin Thomas to win the tournament? I don't mean win who he's paired with.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But my site didn't offer it. Of course, I find out he was 12-1, right? So I would have won $1,200 if I slapped down $100, which of course I didn't do because I couldn't find it. Then today, I'm like, you know, I just have a strange, sneaky suspicion that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to have no interest in playing this basketball game today. I'm like, let me just check. What are the Nets favored by? 15, 16, 17? Nets are getting 19 points, right? Getting ready to put it in. I wind up getting a phone call. I forget to go back to punch it in. Nets actually win the game.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I am mid-season red-hot form. Problem is,
you're
I
not
haven't
actually
hit enter yet.
I feel for you, man.
Oh, man. That's some good loot, man. That's some scratch.
But it's also dangerous to bet right now because you have no idea what's going to happen on any of these nights. Just like you, I wouldn't have guessed that the Nets playing nobody right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Meaning on starting no one.
Nobody. And Jamal Crawford hurt his hamstring. He didn't even finish.
That's right. So there's no way you're saying that the Nets are winning that game, especially against the Bucks. But it's the unpredictable nature of the Orlando bubble. Right?
Yeah.
It's fatiguing, man. These guys are playing a lot of basketball in a very short amount of time. So anything can happen on any given night.
Yeah, and you said something before, you know, you're talking about the boring nature of being in a hotel room. What is the look, because you filmed some stuff as well, what is the longest you have been in a hotel room without wife and or kids?
Yeah, it was probably when I did Ultimate Beastmaster.
Out West.
Out West, what was that, 4 years ago
but
now?
But didn't Tracy come out to see you?
She came out the second time I did it. So the second time I did it, which was actually a shorter trip. It was only 8 days the second time.
Okay.
But the first trip was 14 days. Actually, I think it might have been like 16 because it encompassed the weekend too.
Yep.
So it was
remember
like
that.
16 days. And we weren't on television then, so it was easy just to do the radio show, just to dial in.
I remember that.
Yep,
I
and so that.
That
was the longest time, 14 days, and it felt like forever. So
yeah,
these guys are going to be in this bubble for 3 months if they get in deep into the postseason? That's rough, man.
It seems, great hotel. I'm with you. 5 weeks in Utah with the Discovery last summer, and it was great, but I mean, you get bored out of your mind. There's just nothing to do. There's nothing to do. You miss your
That's
family.
Right.
I got you. I believe we've got Sekou Smith. Is that a yes, Jim? James, we're good? We got Sekou. All right, Sekou is with us here. Sekou, NBA TV fame. He's a writer. He's a TV star. Sekou, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back, man. How you doing?
Fellas, I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing all right. Hanging in.
Cannot complain.
It's been a wild summer, but everybody healthy? Everybody okay in that regard?
Yeah, everybody's safe. The only thing they got to worry about is me and mom choking them out at this point. We've been quarantined together for too long.
How old are your kids, man? Tell us about how long. What do you got?
Oh, I got two college kids and one a senior in high school. So we're in the midst of it.
They're at that age where they fight back too at that age. You know, we were just talking about, you know, the NBA bubble. BT was asking me how long I've been away from my family. It was 14 days. I was shooting something out west, and BT had 5 weeks where he's doing something. And we feel like, you're still getting paid. You're doing a job. It is what it is. But the pressures of the NBA right now, so these guys are in a restart that – as 8 games of seeding, some of it doesn't matter. A lot of it does actually matter. But, I mean, how hard is it, not that it's relatively speaking, but relative to what they're used to doing, how hard is this for some of these guys, especially now that they're about a week in?
Actually they're a month in. If you think of, you know, they're close to a month in for some of them. You know, Toronto's been down there a long time. It's got to be disorienting. I remember being in London in 2012 for the Olympics, and I was there, you know, I was gone for – a month. I was at the World Cup in Spain in 2014, and literally you're gone from, you know, 3 weeks to a month working. You come home, it took me 2 or 3 weeks just to get reacclimated to being home.
Yep.
You know, and these guys are in a quarantine environment with testing every day. I mean, it's not like they have the freedom. It's not like you're just traveling. You're out of town. You know, you're backpacking through Europe. I mean, you are literally on lockdown. You know, so it's got to be a wild experience for everybody. I'm going down September 1st, and I'm going to be down through the end of the finals. And I'm literally getting myself prepared mentally now more than anything, just trying to wrap my head around being down there, being gone that long, how not to shoot through the walls, you know, how to keep from running afoul of the rules. I mean, all sorts of things you have to take into consideration. And I'm not competing. I'm not out there, you know, playing for a championship. I'm just there covering it. So I can imagine it's got to be an unbelievable experience for, you know, for all the players.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having an off day, all right, maybe you don't have your best segment on TV. Maybe you don't write your best column. Maybe you don't do your best podcast, the Hang Time podcast. Maybe you have, you know, you stumble over a few sentences. But if LeBron is feeling, you know, claustrophobic or just out of the zone because he's holed up for months and he shoots 3 for 19 in game 6 of the NBA Finals, it's a little bit of a different outcome, and it's perceived a little differently than Sekou Smith having a bad segment on NBA TV, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen the competition be as furious as it has been early on, just with these seeding games. I think there were a lot of people that assumed that these, you know, players would be easing into everything and kind of, you know, taking a more laid-back approach. But you can look at the games. I mean, look at the scores and just how furious the threes are going up and how many fouls there are every game. I mean, this is guys with a lot of nervous energy to me, trying to get back into whatever kind of groove you can after four-plus-month layoff. And then also, in the back of their minds, you got a country and really a world caught up in social justice issues that weren't a part of the process prior to the shutdown. And you've also got them thinking about their family members and loved ones. When you know, this stuff could strike anybody at any time. You have no idea when, you know, COVID is going to come knocking at your door, come, you know, interrupting your space and somebody that you know or care about. So there's a lot on their minds, you know, more than just going out trying to win basketball games.
At Sekou Smith, NBA TV, NBA.com. He's got a podcast as well. He's the host of it, the Hang Time podcast. And Sekou is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Yep. So one of the things that we were just chatting about was the passing of the torch, it feels like, with the Lakers. And I can still consider them the favorite. BT's maybe moving off a little bit to the Clippers and obviously even the Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, LeBron is an evolving player. And more importantly, Anthony Davis is proving to be the man in this restart. I think LeBron's off right now. He'll get back on because he's just LeBron. But is this ceremonial passing of the torch? I mean, it's important not just for right now, but for the future for the Lakers. Because if LeBron ages out and AD goes someplace else, they're back at square one.
Yeah, that could definitely be in the backs of some people's minds. I would suggest, though, that LeBron is very calculated in how he's playing right now. I've never seen him. The only time I remember seeing him obvious is when he first came back to Cleveland and was trying to make a point with Kyrie and empowering Kyrie and feeding Kyrie the ball and allowing Kevin Love to be, you know, the focus. LeBron is trying to infuse AD with some of that confidence that he knows that they're going to need from AD if the Lakers are going to try and win a championship. You know, for all the beauty of Anthony Davis's game, a 6'10", 6'11 guy who can shoot threes, play around the rim, can do basically everything. He's never busted a grape in the playoffs. We've never seen him beyond one first-round series. So we don't know what he does the deeper you get into a playoffs. And LeBron knows that. And to me, he's going out with a very calculated mission, which is to make sure AD knows that he's the guy. So when LeBron needs him, he's going to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Sekou, I want to ask you this. And, you know, you've done a million interviews. We've done a million. We've had you on the show a lot. We talk about players and their skill set and what they need to do to improve and what's in their repertoire, what's their go-to stuff. You know, we very rarely, while we mention the coaches, we very rarely probe deeply into what makes a coach special. So I want to know from you, Nick Nurse, who got absolutely hosed, he should have won the Coach of the Year award. What makes Nick Nurse great? Why is he so good at what he does specifically?
You know, that's a great question. And I think Nick Nurse's story, what makes him, you know, exceptional and not just a, you know, a run-of-the-mill guy picking up a whiteboard and scribbling on it with a, you know, a dry erase marker. I think it's his journey. And I think if we look into athletes and the guys who come up that are late bloomers or guys who've had to overcome something to get to the point where they're considered one of the elite players, and we got them dotted all over the league. For every LeBron that's standing up, you know, for every, you know, Kevin Durant, who's pegged at an early age to be a potential superstar, you know, there's somebody else like Giannis, who we never heard of until he showed up in the league and then had to bust it to become a great player. You know, he didn't come over with anybody predicting him being a back-to-back MVP at any point in his career. He was a guy who was very obscure, you know, kind of off the radar. To me, Nick Nurse is similar in that, and it's not a rags-to-riches type thing. It's more of a guys who have had to cut their teeth without the benefit of kind of that anointing that everybody says you're going to be this or everybody assumes you're going to be great at this. There's something about the humility that comes with that, and there's something about the willingness to do whatever it takes to get there. I remember last year we were people making jokes in the playoffs about the defensive sets that Nick Nurse was throwing out there until they won a championship, until it worked. And then overnight people want to, you know, claim, oh, well, he's great. You know, he should be this, or he's one of the best in the business. Well, he might have been one of the best all along. But when he got his opportunity, he wasn't too caught up in his own, you know, sauce to go out there and do whatever it takes to make sure he connected with that team and led them to wherever he could. And I appreciate a guy who's not afraid to try things on that stage. There are a lot of guys who are just not going to have the guts to try some of the things Nick Nurse has tried.
Yep.
And for the most part, his moves have worked.
Well, you know why? And, T, you can relate to this as a football player, because there's too many people out there who would, I don't want to say that they would rather lose, but given the scope of criticism, would rather, quote-unquote, lose in a conventional way where it's almost accepting and they're
risk.
Not going to be crushed.
Yeah, then risk.
Then to do something that's very different and then maybe lose and then get crushed. So that takes a certain set of something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And then Seiko, I think what you're hitting on, and you're right, is a lot of that team from Siakam to Fred VanVleet, they're kind of the same dude as the coach, right? They weren't anointed. These guys were in the G League, man.
Guys, Kyle Lowry played 9 years in the league before he made an All-Star team.
That's right.
Now he's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame. You know, he's going to go down as one of the greatest players in Raptors history without question. You know, an NBA champion. Sometimes the long game works. It just does. Sometimes having to grind it out and being a person who has to kind of come through the back door to get to the party, you end up having more fun than whoever got escorted through the front door on the red carpet. It's just, to me, it's one of those things that's kind of universal. It's not just sports. It's in life in general. How many people do you guys know, think about it, in your life, how many people have you bumped into kind of like these accidental superstars in whatever they do? You know, you look at them and go, how in the world did this guy or, you know, this lady end up here? And then you do some digging and find out they just got that special something that helps them connect in ways that everybody doesn't have.
Seiko, good stuff, man. Appreciate you. Keep doing it. NBA TV, NBA.com. He's the host of the Hangtime Podcast. We'll probably get you before you go down to Orlando, but if we don't, safe travels, and we'll connect while you're in the bubble. Thank you, man.
No doubt, fellas. Appreciate you as always.
Yep.
Be good, Seiko.
Same to you. Seiko Smith. A little late update. Then I got a little something on Jim Harbaugh that's interesting. And the Blast. That's next after Rack. Here's Rich. Got the Blast coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, it's time for the Game Plan for Success brought to you by Napa. As we take a look at the Cubs and their plan for success, the Cubbies collected their 8th win of the season last night. They beat the Royals 2-0. And Chicago made Kansas City starting pitcher Danny Duffy work. They forced him to throw 103 pitches in his 6 innings. So they got into the pen, and they added an insurance run, and they hung on, and they beat him 2-0. There you go. Whether you stop by a locally owned Napa Auto Parts, Napa Auto Care, or visit Napa online, if you need help with your ride, you can count on Napa know-how. So, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, I thought this was funny before we get to the Blast. We've talked a lot about, and we had Harbaugh on our show twice, once in person at the Super Bowl, which was awesome. And he was telling us a story about, you know, climbing the tree and sleeping over. I mean, he's nuts. And I say that endearingly. I love Jim Harbaugh.
Climbing the tree was an athletic rep. That's what he called it. Yes. An athletic rep. I'm like, what?
Hey, he's right. Full body engagement.
I agreed.
You're not wrong.
I agreed.
But there's somebody who was not down with his recruiting methods. Five-star, and he's just got drafted by the Titans. He went to Georgia, but he almost went to Michigan. Offensive lineman Isaiah Wilson, right? So Wilson was dishing on a podcast, and he said, this is his words. Remember when they first got the deal with Jordan? And we all remember that when Michigan got the Jordan deal.
Yep.
He just wouldn't take off his cleats, Wilson said. He came into my house in my home visit with cleats on his feet, and I have hardwood floors, and he just kept walking around with cleats, bro. Wouldn't take them off. My mom was 38 hot. She was like, why is this man not taking off his shoes? And then Wilson said, I'm not going there. And he didn't.
That's funny. That is funny.
I mean, that's a little weird.
That is classic Jim Harbaugh, though.
I know you want to show off the Jordan silhouette, but rock the wind gear or the zip up or something, the hat, you know, the skull cap.
Or get some sneaks.
Even right. Better. Kids will like those. All right, you ready for the blast here, Teak? You good?
I am. Let's go.
Let's hit it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Teaky and Tierney.
All right, ESPN set their Monday Night Football booth for the season. It was kind of buried over the weekend. I was like, somebody told me. I'm like, they did? I didn't even see it. You're not even in the business. You're telling me? It was kind of buried in there a little bit. It's going to be a three-man booth. So they're doing the three-man again. Play-by-play Steve Levy, commentators Lewis Riddick, who you see a lot on First Take and some other shows, and Brian Griese. Was this ESPN's best option?
I don't think so, BT. I mean, I think Herb Street and Fowler would have been good, especially with college football being so up in the air right now.
Yep.
But again, they're just experimenting. They don't know what's going to happen. I think I love Lewis Riddick. But I think he's a little too serious for the booth.
Interesting.
But we'll see.
That's interesting.
Because think about what's working now. It's Tony Romo having fun. It's basically a fan. You know what I mean? And you're going away from the guy who's just so analytical because you're talking over people's heads and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Right? Huh. Just have fun with it. So I would have liked Herbie, but I get why they keep him on the college ranks if college football has a season.
I love Herbie. I mean, he's phenomenal. Yeah.
No,
he's the Dick Vitale of college football.
That's right. We have him every year at the Army-Navy game. We go
yeah,
down.
We do.
He's great.
Yep, ESPN lets us borrow him for about 12 minutes.
And it's the only time.
Exactly. Is this the best option? I think Steve Levy's solid. I have no problem with Steve. Now, it's not he's a high-profile name.
Yeah.
Maybe not the highest, but that doesn't matter. I think Levy's really good. The Griese stuff doesn't move me personally. And I actually I really like the Riddick move. I think he should be a GM. I think Riddick has all sorts of talents.
See, I agree with that, BT.
Yeah.
I think he should be a GM also.
But I get the sense, I'm going to disagree a little bit. I think there's a different gear there that I hope he is able to tap into and have a little fun. And if not,
I hope so also.
Yeah.
Because you need it. You need it.
You do.
On a football broadcast. You can't be all serious.
Yeah. I mean, is it perfect? No. Is it their best option? No. Is it a solid option? Yeah. But
definitely.
You don't want to keep changing every couple of years.
Agreed.
You got to get some traction. All right. So last night, Teak, the Big 12 announced the 10-game schedule for the 2020 season. Got 9 conference games, 1 non-conference. Was the Big 12 smart to wait despite still doing a similar schedule to the other Power 5 conferences? Yeah. I mean, time is always an asset if you can properly utilize it. Now, we don't always have the benefit of time.
Yeah.
But when you can tap into time and use it to your advantage, that's always, listen, that's why they always say think before you hit enter.
Yeah.
Think, you know, use time before you put out the schedule. They used it. It equates to the same thing, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and again, they're probably financial considerations with all of these things. Like, who can you bring in out of conference? Now, for the Big 12, it's likely going to always – it's going to cost them money. Just like we talked about with Iowa State doing a deal with Ball State to do a guarantee game, a bye game. So it's going to cost them money, but at least it fills out their schedule. But look at this, BT. You got a 10-game, or it's a 9 and then a 1. So it's a 10-game schedule, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you create a parallel to the other conferences who are also competing for the college football playoff, who are going to play probably 12 games, the top teams? It just makes it really interesting, you know, come, you know, bowl season and obviously college football playoff season.
Let's see here. Denver Nuggets forward, I mentioned this before, forward Michael Porter Jr. just went bonkers last night, dropped 37. I think he had 10 rebounds as well. They beat the Thunder. Can Porter still reach his peak in the NBA?
Yeah, I think he can, BT. He's young. He's got a good squad that he's on, and they're seemingly empowering him. You know, letting him have the run of you know, this restart, this eight game regular season restart. And if he ends up being what everybody thought he was going to be before he got those injuries in college, yeah. I mean, he could be a star, but he's got a lot of work to do still.
He is 22 years. He just turned 22 at the end of June.
Yeah.
He's a kid. He's 6'10", and he can shoot.
Yep.
I mean, there's a real window. Now, the one thing that it's not problematic, but it's something that they're going to have to navigate. You know, the Nuggets are on that second line in terms of, you know, and this year anything can happen, but in a normal non-pandemic season, in my opinion, the Denver Nuggets are on that second line of championship viability, and they're not far from being on the one line. Like, so you want to balance chasing a championship and also working this young man into the equation, and that sometimes can be tricky to navigate. Usually young players get a lot of run on teams that aren't that good.
Yep.
So you can go with the mistakes. How about this, though? He texted his coach, Michael Malone. He texted him three times. He didn't play well the other night. I'm reading this in the Denver Post. He texted Malone, and he said, basically on three separate occasions, before last night's game, stick with me.
Yeah, that's great.
How about
that?
And then he drops 37.
Yeah, and then look, it was circumstance because Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Will Barton were all sidelined. So he was kind of like the only option. But that's when the opportunity comes.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, your coach is, I don't want to say screwed, but he's kind of screwed. He's like, dude, we don't have an option. Go do what you can do. And he does that. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
And on top of what you just said, trust me or stick with me, coach, that's awesome. It shows fortitude, mental fortitude on his part, which is so important for some of these young kids.
Well said. I agree.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
The other thing, Mike Soroka, I was watching this live. You know, obviously the Mets were playing the Braves. I was going back and forth watching the Yankees beat the Phillies with DeGrom and Cole, and I was trying to watch as much as I could for both pitchers.
Yeah.
And the Braves ace, who was no slouch either, you knew it as soon, Teague, as he charged off the mat, it took one step. Knew, by the way, you actually saw it, like with Durant, you saw it roll up the back of his leg.
Yeah.
His Achilles ruptured.
I got to tell you, BT, we did this on the local show. We did WFAN locally today, and we were talking about the Mets. They're sitting in the basement right now, you know, whatever that means with all the disjointed schedules, because the Marlins have only played 3 games, the Phillies have only played 4 games, whatever it means. But with Soroka going out, the Mets aren't out of it. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, other than Max Fried, they don't have a ton of starting pitching.
No, they don't.
Talking about the Braves. So,
the Braves. Now, they got a beast of a lineup, but you're right. I mean, the Nats don't look as imposing. The Phillies, we'll see. The Marlins have some talent, but they're still a little bit of ways. Mets needed that win. They got it, and we'll see what it does for them moving forward. Have a great Tuesday. Safe, sensible, sane. Do it. We'll see you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.